Attention everyone, this is an emergency broadcast. The loud frequency coming from your radio is not a mistake. Do not turn off your radio, but instead turn up your radio as loud as it can go. Do this so we can broadcast this frequency as loud as possible.
And welcome to another take of this episode of Game Stuff. Yes, that's, you heard me correctly. We are in our second attempt because the first time we had some major problems with Discord and that episode totally had to be scrapped. So, but for those of you that have never listened to our show, my name is Kalai. I'm your gaming girl for this episode. And with me today is Roberto. What's up, Roberto?
Greetings and salutations, ladies and gentlemen. Happy Memorial Day weekend. Hope everyone's doing well. Give it up for the troops and to the men and women of our armed forces. And hope you're soaking in the rays and enjoying some burgers on the grill.
And also we have Joe with us today. What's up, Joe?
Hey, guys. Not much. It's just nice to be back and talk about some games tonight.
Hell yeah. So this is a conversational podcast for gamers, by gamers, about gaming. We talk about everything. Now, before we get started into our show, let's get some housekeeping out of the way. If you do like us, please subscribe and rate us. It does help out the show. You can follow us on Twitter at GameStuffCast. You can go to Facebook and search our GameStuff Podcast Facebook group and ask for an invite. We will accept you because we like friends.
Somewhat.
Now, the topic for this week is we're going to be talking about that Nintendo vouchers. But before we get started, let's see what we've been playing this week. How about you, Roberto?
All right. So I've been playing a bunch of games on the PS4 and Vita and Nintendo Switch as well. So we'll start off with a fascinating one. This one is Bad North by Raw Fury.
Ooh, what's that about?
Bad North is a really fascinating real-time strategy game with an interesting three-dimensional isometric visual style. And it was originally released for the Switch, and then it made its way to PS4 and Xbox fairly recently. So it's actually based on Viking lore and mythos. So you're a bunch of Vikings, and you have to defend your home turf from invaders. But it's very simple. Each battle is an island. There are homes on the island. Your forces are in blue. Your objective is to stop everybody who is in black and who is wearing black and on boats trying to make their way to the island. They want to go to the island to burn the homes. You protect the island. You get coins. The coins go to upgrades and you continue on your roguelike procedural generated journey. And it's actually pretty good. I mean, I'm looking at the game
sounds actually really awesome. I love roguelites.
So, yeah, Matt would probably dig it. It's very simple. Just the islands have like sections, like almost like a grid, kind of like a Fire Emblem, but not a grid. They're like little mounds that you can select them to, and then you can just click or choose, and they just run to it right away. You can also slow down time if you need to tactically plot out where they're going to go, and then also, depending on what it is that you're doing, you can unlock super moves. So one move actually had my soldiers jump from a cliff and like crash down on the enemy with their swords, like, you know, sword first. So there was that. There was also like a special archery move because I had archers, and that was pretty neat. I selected one of my forces for archers, and I was actually able to launch bows and arrows into the ocean and strike the enemy before they showed up to the island. So I'm still working on it. There's a lot to take in with that game. But yeah, it's actually pretty cool.
That's cool.
Yeah. So there's that. Yeah, the next game was actually... I didn't talk about Anger Force, did I? I don't believe I did.
No.
No, what's Anger Force?
Anger Force Reloaded by Zodiac Interactive. Actually, I think I did. Yes, I did. But I did, okay. Yeah, I did play that. But But I'll make it real quick. Eger Force Reloaded is actually a shmup, like a mech inspired shmup with these different characters. It has this very eclectic style, which what I thought was pretty cool.
What system is this for?
PS4, Switch, I believe on Xbox. Zodiac Interactive has been releasing a lot of interesting games in the last couple of months, like Death Coming and Anger Force Reloaded and a few others. And
I mean, I'm down for another shmup, so.
Yeah, it's worth it. For $10, yeah. It's definitely a must-buy on your Switch or PS4. And there doesn't seem, I don't really, I'm not too familiar about what the overall story is, but it seems like every character has their own little plot. And I chose Robot because I like robots, and he wants to find out who made him. So there's a cutscene that opens up fully voiced, and then of course you happen to be fighting various enemies. But the nice thing about this is that you have cooldown attacks, you have a super move, you have you can rank up your score. There's a way to kind of keep fighting and it's not unbearably hard is what I'm trying to say. Because some of these shmups are like really, really difficult, and they can be kind of a pain in the butt. So to play in that regard, like, because they can just be just sheerly difficult. But the good news is that it's not like there's an opening couple levels that get you used to it, and then it opens up from there, and it's pretty good. So, and lastly, I played what was the Switch? I mentioned a Switch game the other night.
Brawl. Super Bowl?
No, Hell is Other Speed Demons. Speed Brawl. Oh, I mentioned Speed Brawl. That's also on that. Okay, I'll do two quickies. Speed Brawl. Okay, so first is Speed Brawl. Speed Brawl is actually really cool. It's a game.
I think Joe would like this game.
Yeah. It's a game that combines racing, fighting, brawling, and boss attacks, and a little bit of action platforming into one cohesive narrative game. It's actually really good. So the take is that it takes place in 1886, 87, you know, Queen England, that type of thing. Apparently, there was the Lunar Wars, and this is a time when people think of astro exploration, space. It's like it's the Gilded Age, or almost the Gilded Age. So people think that, like, rockets haven't been invented yet, so there's like all this like kind of machination and interpretation of how the moon and spaces and alien creatures and things like that. I'm actually reminded a little bit of Rock Botchers, which is a video game where you actually are the Queen of England, and you get sent to Mars on a bullet. You get like fired into a cannon, and that's like a spaceship in that world. So it's in that kind of steampunk, Queen England Victorian era. That's the word I'm looking for. Victorian era. Type of sci-fi. And the rest of the game's great. So it's anime inspired. Like, the intro's anime inspired. The combat's very interesting to get into. It's quick. It's easy. You use the wall, obstacles, everything. You brawl. You fight. You got super moves. You got the whole thing's a tag team. So you can, like, just slap somebody in. And after you slap them in, they start fighting for you. And each character is completely different from the next. So it's actually very good. It's on PS4 and Switch. And then the last game is Hell is Other Demons. So,
okay, I heard demons in hell.
So
I heard other.
I want you to imagine. Oh, how do I describe this? A really cool hyper retro pixelated style that's extremely smooth and very heavily synthwave 80s. And you happen to be in hell, and you're a demon that has to fight your way out. So it's like that. Crazy soundtrack, this interesting wave of music that and visual styles that's really, really haunting and creepy. It doesn't use a lot of color. It's like your character is white with a little bit of like a red outline. Your billets are red, and then the rest of it is purple and with these smooth animations and shades and things like that. It's a really wild game. I just finished the first boss not too long ago, and I found myself continuously not wanting to put it down because it's just a very fierce kind of a game. And that's about it. That's actually right now, that is exclusively on the Nintendo Switch at this time. And I'd highly recommend it. There seems to be like other various game modes, lots of levels, There's an endless wave mode. There's mission objectives to complete. There's things like that. And it's pretty neat. I mean, I think if you liked Neurovoider, Enter the Gungeon, games like that, you would like this one. So what about you, Joe?
Oh, I actually played a lot of stuff this week. Like a metric ton of video games. So where do I start? Let's start. I actually finally fired up Kingdom Hearts 2. So I'm really liking that. I'm digging it. I beat about the first, I think I'm like 10 hours in, so I'm probably, what, a third through the game now? About. It's not It's not a long game from what I read. I read it's about a 35-hour game just to beat the story itself, and then to do everything else, probably like another, like, I heard then it gets to be a really grind because then you're doing all the synthesis and all that stuff. But I'm
Yeah, I remember I hit like a 30, I hit like the 35, 36 hour moment when I got to the last world, and then I wanted to get the Ultima Blade, and then I wanted to defeat Sephiroth, and that took maybe like an extra, I would feel like 10 or 15 hours or so.
Okay.
That's just going off of memory.
I'm really digging the game though. I like it a lot more than the first one, which I didn't think was possible, because I really liked the first one. I liked the story, but I feel like this one starts to fill in the gap, but also starts to make things a lot more convoluted, if that makes any sense. Like, it's filling in a lot of...
Oh, of course, yes.
Because, like, Organization 13 is, like, really hard to wrap your head around if you don't understand what's going on. But I feel like it's really not as convoluted as people make it out to be. It's pretty straightforward if you really pay attention. But I'm digging it. I'm digging the combat a lot more than the first game. I like the counter systems and, like, how Triangle actually does different things in different battles. It's a really cool mechanic. I like the overdrive, the drive system. The drive system's cool. I mean, it makes it so there's another layer to combat.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's a lot of interesting additions to the combat, especially that whole fusion system where your partners become your blades and then you just fight like crazy. And
yeah, it's pretty interesting. It's different.
Plus, there's Tron. Tron is my all-time favorite sci-fi film.
Right now, I got to, where is it? Atlantica for the first time. So
I'm gonna warn you right now, that's a cringy stage.
Yeah, it is. I just finished it. It's all that stupid music touch game, like friggin' Parappa the Rappa. It's literally like playing Parappa the Rappa, except in like 2004.
But at least Parappa the Rappa has really good
music.
Rap music. This one's like very cringy
Disney music.
Disney music. That's like,
I mean, it is what it is. My daughter enjoys watching me play Kingdom Hearts, so like, it's like the best thing is to watch her watch me play it, because she's like, these are all characters she's familiar with now, but it's like showing them in a different like light, and now she even knows who like Sora is. So it's pretty cool sharing the experience with her, because it's a game that I feel like I can play in front of her and there's no like ramifications to what she's watching me play.
That's always a silver lining and good feeling.
So moving on, I played Mortal Kombat 11. I've been delving into like finishing up the online trophies. So there's one where you have to play 50 casual matches. So I literally just sit there and like sit in the casual thing with my Switch in my hand. So like when I'm sitting in a lobby and just waiting, I can play some Switch. But I think I played 13 or 14 matches out of the 50 I have to play. And I actually have it tracked in my phone, so I know how many I've played. Just because I'm anal about that stuff, and I don't want to waste time, so I just want to get it done.
Right.
So I've been doing that, and then I played a few towers. And I didn't get the bonus, which really pissed me off. Like, everybody got the bonus for, like, having all the problems with the microtransactions and stuff, but I didn't get it. I guess I didn't log on within, like, the time frame that they were offering it. So I never got, like, the bonus where they gave out a whole bunch of, like, extra, like, money and stuff. Really pissed me off.
And which game was this again?
Mortal Kombat 11.
Because
of all the microtransaction issues, they actually nerfed a lot of the stuff too. Like it's a lot easier to earn money now. Like you earn a lot more for doing things than you did before.
I guess that's okay.
The game is amazing though. I have to say the combat in that game is so fluid, and it's kind of more like playing, instead of playing like Mortal Kombat, like old school Mortal Kombat, it's more like playing Dead or Alive. It's more about countering and waiting for openings rather than just going in balls to the wall like most Mortal Kombat games used to be. Right. So you get kind of penalized if you don't play somewhat of a defensive game. And playing online, I'm like learning like what to do, what not to do, learning what characters I really like playing as. Like, I really like Baraka. He's really balanced, mm-hmm. and he's a good fighter. I like his special moves, too, and I can do his brutality, so that's cool, too. Which, they made those a little bit easier to do than in the last game, where it was, like, a friggin', like, input code. Now you have to meet, like, special conditions in the match, and then, like, the last round you have to, like, not duck or block, and then if you do an uppercut as your final move for most guys, you just knock their head off and do brutality. It's pretty cool. Next, I played... Let's keep on PS4. What else did I play on PS4 this week? Oh, I played... I went back to playing WWE 2K19. I just got the itch to play it. I've been watching a lot of wrestling lately. Actually, truth be told, I tried to give wrestling a break, and it lasted all of 24 hours.
I was going to say, didn't you say that in our chat? You were like, fuck wrestling?
Yes, I literally tried to go like on a WWE break, on a hiatus, because it's just... The product's just so bad right now that I don't want to waste my time watching it. But because I've been watching it for so long, it's kind of like I'm conditioned to watch it whether it's garbage or not. I kind of equate it to like people who watch soap operas. Like, they watch them every afternoon, regardless of if they're good or not. It's just something you do. So something I do every Monday is I watch wrestling, and every Tuesday I watch wrestling. So... I really wanted to finish the rest of the trophies I had left in 2K19, which is really just beating the story mode at this point. So I need to do like the My Career, which is akin to like the NBA My Careers, where like you create your own guy and then you go through like this elaborate story mode. But it's actually pretty good. I mean, you start off in like the indie wrestling fed, and then you go and you get like signed to like WWE, and then you go to the main roster. So I'm on the main roster now, and I'm the United States champion. And, like, everybody keeps challenging me for the open challenge, and it's getting really annoying because it's really hard to win. Like, that's what I like the most about the career mode, is it's actually challenging because it's based on your character attributes, is how good you are. It's not something you can just beat because you're really good at the game. So you can't just, like, run through it like every other mode in the game because you're just good at the game. Like, your stats play a big impact about, like, how fast you can beat a match or how much damage you do. So it's like there's a lot of management in the game, but I'm really liking it. I'm really liking it. I actually fired up Universe Mode in that, which is kind of like WWE's own, like, you get to control your own like WWE universe. So you make your own shows, you pick your own champions, and then you just play out all the matches. So I've been doing that because I need a trophy in there. I think I need to play 50 matches in Universe Mode. So I've been working slowly on that. But I also just like making my own Universe Mode. When I was little, I used to have notebooks. And I would just, like, write out all the matches that I would play. And I would just play them for hours. Or I would let the computer play the computer for hours. So, yeah, I did that. And then, moving over to the Switch, I played a lot of stuff. Because we had that massive Switch sale. So, I got a few things on the Switch this week. What did I play? First, I played Punch-Out, which is part of the Nintendo online service. So I was playing Punch-Out and got really addicted into playing Punch-Out and told myself, like, it's time to beat Punch-Out. And this is kind of the same, like, epiphany I had when I beat Ninja Gaiden for the first time. Like, I was...
You never beat Punch-Out? Wait, what?
Have you ever beat Punch-Out?
Yeah.
You beat Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
Small proof. Mike Tyson's hard as shit.
I was like 8.
There's no way you beat Mike Tyson at 8 years old. I call bullshit. This is, Punch-Out is literally one of the hardest games to beat. And it takes a lot of skill.
He has a point.
I don't know many 8-year-olds that could beat Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, but then I don't know many Kalais either, so...
There's only ever one Kalai.
So, well, not really, because, you know, there's, what, 7 doppelgangers of each person in the world? So, I mean, there's probably another Kalai somewhere. She might not be named Kalai. But anyway, getting back to Punch-Out. So... I was getting really addicted to, like, trying to beat each opponent as fast as I possibly could. So, I've been playing that. And then I talked to Roberto a little bit the other night about how, like, I want to beat... Or no, I was talking to my friend Ben. He listens to the show. Shout out to Ben.
Thank you, Ben, for listening to our show.
Yeah, I was talking to Ben. And I was saying how, like, I want to beat every single game on the Nintendo Online service and see how many hours it takes me. Because the Switch tracks all the games as, like, one game. Because it's one app. So, like, I want to see how long it takes me to beat every single game in this in the Nintendo library that's on the Switch. Obviously, special editions, like, not included, because those are really annoying, actually. But that's a rant for another day. No, this won't be a rant of the week. We're not getting one of those right now. We don't do that as an opening. Other than that, I bought Horizon Chase Turbo.
That's a good one. That's
Horizon Chase Turbo is amazing. If you're looking for a super awesome arcade racing game on the Switch, this is your game. It plays very much so like Cruisin' USA from the N64 days. Would you say that, Roberto? I think that's like the closest.
It's actually more along the lines of Outrun from the Sega Genesis days.
Yeah, but I would say, yeah, because of the management aspect of the gas and like the time.
But well, not just that, but the literal visual
aesthetics,
style.
Yeah, the aesthetics, yeah.
I mean, and keep in mind, Cruisin' Exotica and Cruisin' came from...
Oh my god, I want a new Cruisin' Outrun. Game. I want a new...
Because the same engineer worked on Afterburner, and...
Oh my god, I want a new Cruisin' for the Switch so bad.
But in any case, yeah, it's a good one. It's been on PS4 for a while.
Yeah, it's amazing on the Switch. Like, it's a nice little pickup title. Pick up, you can play a race, drop out. It's really, really awesome. And what I found out is, like, the world tour is, like, pretty lengthy. But then not only do you have that, you have other modes that unlock once you beat, like, certain qualifications in, like, each mode, you get more modes. And there's, like, a lot of shit to do in that game. It looked like a small game at first, and it just kept folding back like a flower, and there was like all these layers, and I was like, man, this game is pretty dope.
Yeah, it actually started off as a mobile game.
Really?
Yeah, like I remember seeing it as on mobile before.
Oh man, it's come a long way. It's a pretty awesome game. And then finally, I spent the majority of my time playing Monster Hunter this week. I played a lot with Kalai, actually. And our friend of the show, Matt.
Did play a lot.
So shout out to Matt. Thank you for playing, you know, Monster Hunter with us this week. And it was cool getting you up to speed with us and, you know, catching you up. But, Monster Hunter Generations or Ultimate... Monster Hunter Generation Ultimate or Ultimate Generations? The fuck is the name of the game?
Monster Hunter Generations Ultimate.
Yeah, that's what it is. That game is fantastic. If you own a Switch and you like World, you should definitely check out Generations because it'll show you, like, it'll humble you to, like, how, like, simplistic World really is and how, like, hand-holdy it is. And you don't really think it is because, I mean, World has a lot going for it and the quality of life changes are nice. But it's, like, it's nice to see, like, the roots of the series and where it's come from. And I love Monster Hunter. Like, I always have. I played it with my friends back on the PSP, so I started all the way like back at like Monster Hunter 2, and
I have to admit that I haven't been playing it as much lately. And then when you and I started playing, I just couldn't stop.
Yeah,
I've been playing for the past 2 days.
It's addicting as shit. I like as soon as I get done recording, all I want to do is lay on the couch and just do quests, and just get better armor and get better gear and try a different weapon and do everything else. It's like that's. Like, all I want to do is play Monster Hunter now.
Hopefully one day I'll get that itch.
So, Clyde, what have you been playing this week?
Rage 2. Oh my god, I'm, like, loving the game. I mean, the critics are right. The world is a little bland, and the story isn't as robust as it could be, but it makes up for it in gameplay. I compare it akin to like Doom. I mean, Doom had a story, but really the only thing you did really in Doom was kill things. And that's pretty much what Rage 2 is. So, if you're looking for a story, you might not like it. But if you just want to kill shit, it's fun. You do some of the same quests over and over again, so it can get repetitive. But to me, I played it literally for 20 hours already. I've only had the game for a week. I was actually home sick one day, and I literally played it all day long. So I highly, highly recommend it. However, the game seems to be very buggy on the Xbox One. I don't know how it is on the PlayStation. I haven't heard anything. I've been having a lot of problems where, like, the conversations have dropped off, so I've missed Quest's storyline because they just stopped talking, but their lips were moving.
Wait, what?
Rage 2 has a lot of bugs on the Xbox One.
No, I heard that, but, like, just conversations just drop, like, mid-conversation?
Like, mid-conversation, she was telling me, you're going to have to go out and get... You're going to have to talk to the three people. The first person you need to talk to is... And then her lips start moving and nothing comes out. And at the end of the conversation, after 5 minutes, my character was like, wow, you just dropped a lot of shit in my lap. And I'm like, really? I don't know.
I don't know what it is. Did it at least give you waypoint? So, like, at that point, I would be like, yo, I need a refund for this shit. Like, that's...
No, they put up... They put up waypoints. Everything has a waypoint, so I just went to the waypoint.
That's still just unfucking acceptable. Like, I want to enjoy the game for what it is. If I'm going to play a piece of shit, at least I want to enjoy my piece of shit. Like Duke Nukem Forever, like, for a game that was marred in such, like, controversy for the fact that it took so long to make and everyone, like, said it wasn't that great, I fucking enjoyed that game, and I thought it was pretty cool. But at least it fucking worked. Like...
Right. I mean, that's a good way to look at it.
Also, when you talk to people, if you're not the exact spot you need to click, you can't talk to them. So I can't walk up directly. I have to walk up to them and slowly back up until I hit that line.
What do they have, like, hitboxes? This is ridiculous.
So, I actually did tweet at Bethesda. I was like, oh, your shit's a little broken here.
What do you play? I feel like you're playing Simon's Quest here on Nintendo, and it's like some cryptic bullshit that you have to figure out. It's like... Yeah, I'm gonna kneel down at the end of the stage, and then I'm gonna take the orb out, and then the hurricane's gonna come whisk me away. Yeah, because when I was 5, I was gonna figure that shit up all on my own. Nintendo, good job on your game design.
Yeah, but it's really is fun, so I suggest checking it out. I also played Devious Dungeon 2 for the Vita.
Okay, so how is that? Because it came up for the Switch, and I was like, the first one's fucking amazing. And I was like, I kind of want to buy the second one, but I don't know if I want to get it on PS4 again, because the first one I got on PS4, so I was like, so what are you thinking?
Well, here's the thing. I gotta let you know, this is a review copy.
Alright, well.
So, it's a lot of fun. I mean, I've been having a lot of fun. So, when we originally filmed this yesterday of this podcast... Roberto was like, oh, so it's exactly like this, this, and this, and described the first one. And I said, no, it's not like that at all. So apparently they redid the entire design of the game.
Wait, really?
It's not a side-scroller.
What? What is it now? Top-down isometric?
You pretty much have to go through the dungeon level and find the key to go to the next level. And so you're, like, going back and forth,
so it,
exploring.
So it plays, like, old-school, like, Gauntlet?
Yes. Except you're on a 2D view. You're on a side view of your character, so you're just running around looking for the key, getting your treasure. I'm stuck at the boss.
That's nice that they changed up the mechanics of the game and the overall aesthetics of the game, because I feel like not enough companies are willing to take that risk or do that, especially like an indie developer where, you know, making a sequel is a risk in itself, even if you have a proven concept. But changing that concept is taking away what was proven to begin with, if that makes any sense to you guys. Roberto, what do you...
Yeah, the other thing is, I don't know if you know this real quick. Mm-hmm. This is from Radalac Games.
Yeah, Radalac. They like to make easy platinums.
Yeah.
That was where I was going with that.
They're except for Stay, which is the game where you have to keep a guy alive, and is apparently, like, that's a pretty difficult platinum from what I gather.
That's their only one, though. Don't they have, like... They made Inkplosion in all those games, right?
Yeah, a lot of the games that they have do have platinums. As a matter of fact, I got a platinum for a game they gave me called Peasant Knight. It's a game you can beat inside of an hour if you're persistent. And so I got a platinum for that. And I was playing that Zeroption Invasion, which is like Space Invaders, and nearly got the platinum in like less than 30 minutes.
So. Well, I heard they're pretty easy to get keys from what I heard.
Like yeah, but they're cool because they're always doing stuff that's actually very interesting, and they're always engaged in just making games, getting them out there.
That's awesome. And shout out to Radalac Games then.
Yeah. Yeah, they're neat in what they're doing. And I hope they continue to have the success they have.
If you want to see a different game by them, you play My Big Sister, which is one of their newer titles.
And I heard that you said it was like dark as hell.
It is fucking dark as hell.
How many games do they have in development once? Jesus.
They have a lot. And my big sister, your sister, I think is dead, but you're talking to her going through this entire, it's just an entire story game.
I mean.
And at one point, I picked the wrong item, and apparently the psychologist who she was talking to, they implemented that she was raped by her, so her sister killed him. Swear to God.
I mean, I think it's really neat that a publisher has really taken to the trophy, like, community and been like, yo, we got your back, guys. We're going to make games for you to buy on the cheap that are going to have platinums, that you could just basically pay for a platinum. But, like, they've carved out that market, so they're reaping the benefits of, like, feeding, I guess, the beast that is, like, the trophy horror community. Like mm-hmm. no one's really feeding them, so I feel like they're scratching an itch that needs to be scratched in our community.
Now, here's the thing they implied. Maybe it wasn't, it was more, like, they're implying that she touched him. I don't know, it was really, really weird.
We still talking about Big Sister?
Yes. But the game is really not that easy to play. It's a very difficult game, which is kind of a turnabout for Radalak games. Like, I find all their games very easy and simple.
Well, if you're making...
I'm having trouble...
If you're making, like, 6 games a year, or 16 games a year, I'm pretty sure they have to be simplistic, right?
Well, I'm having a little trouble getting through this and finding the exact path, because you have to figure out what's going on. There's no clues, there's no... You just get stuff, you have to try everything. It's...
You have to get the
really.
You have to get the clues that you can use. You need Nintendo power.
Yeah, exactly. It's a good game though. So far, I'm really enjoying that one.
What else are you playing?
Yeah, but
well,
that's pretty much
yeah.
it.
That's I mean, it? And also yeah. keep on the lookout for other games like that. They have like Shadow of Loot Box, which is for PS4. They have also
Shadow I of Loot Box.
Yeah, I Am the Hero, which is
I Am the Hero is great. Great
yeah,
game.
That's a really good one. There's a bunch of other games that they have like currently that they're always rolling out with something almost like every week. So
that's insane.
Yeah,
they're like the they're like the Apple Store of indie games.
Yeah, you, I guess that's a good way to put it.
Or is it?
But hey, let's go to our topic of the show, which is the vouchers. So, before we get into this discussion, let me tell you about the vouchers for those that don't know. It's $99.99 for 2 Nintendo games, digital games.
It's a sweet deal.
Which means you save $20. You can only buy the vouchers until July 31st, 2019. And you could buy up to 8 of them. Vouchers can be used up to a year after you purchase them. They can be used to pre-purchase games. And it's from a specific list of mostly Nintendo published games. So there are games like Mario Tennis, Mario Party.
All first party offers.
All first party offers.
It's pretty much every single first party game that has come out for the Switch so far and will be coming out for the Switch up until July 31st.
So, I mean, this is a pretty good deal. But let's start with you, Roberto. What do you think of this?
So I think that it's not bad if you're the kind of person that exclusively buys digital on Nintendo Switch and is a very big diehard Nintendo Switch fan, as well as somebody who specifically hunts for exclusives on Nintendo Switch. It's neat. It's interesting. It's unprecedented. And it kind of is a little bit exciting, I guess, if you're... It's kind of like getting a book order in school when you get like those little Scholastic book orders and there's all these cool things to look at, you know. So I guess
fucking love Scholastic books.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, buying books you're never going to fucking read. So, hey, Mom, give me $50 to go to the book fair to buy $50 worth of books I'm never going to read. Ever.
And as a matter of fact, when I went to New York on Tuesday, I did that.
You bought $50 worth of books you're never going to read?
Well, there was Battlestar Galactica and also The Martian and a few others. But anyways,
let's get back on topic.
Getting back on topic, yeah.
Stay on topic.
Yes, Star Wars reference. So, this is not something I will personally invest in.
Really?
For just a couple of reasons. The first is that it's like, it's all digital. And I don't have a problem with all, like, that like, a big conscription against digital or physical. I mean, it's what you do, it's what you prefer. I personally just like having my physical copies of games, especially like Fire Emblem or something like that. And that's just me. That's the first part. The second part is these games, you have to make sure that your memory card has the most space available. Like, you can get a 400 gig Nintendo Switch memory card for like $60.
Yep, you gotta buy the big boy. You gotta go right, buy a big boy.
But just, you gotta keep that in mind, because that's gonna be an addition to the voucher and saving $20 per game. So I guess in a sense, everything cancels out. But you
But that's gaming in general, man. Everything's a crapshoot. And you're an expensive hobby already. So yeah, the right. saving $10 thing isn't... Saving $20, is it really that much of a deal? No, I just think it's nice that they're doing anything for fans, because usually they fucking don't, like, at all.
Right. Well, I think that now, like, their business model completely changed when Switch launched, and they've been doing a lot of things that have been very much so in tune to what the gamers would want. Everything from the region, the fact that the Switch is region free, to the fact that there's no proprietary technology with the charger or the memory card. So they've been doing a lot of enhancements in that. But back to the voucher thing.
Yep.
So it's like, you have to be prepared to have a lot of data used. Like, for example, Mortal Kombat, if you bought that sucker digitally, you're looking at like a, 12 gig base install, I think, and then a 22 gig base install.
Yep.
And then like a 10 gig
install for updates. It's a big boy. It's one of the biggest games on the Switch.
Like, even right now, I got Paladins, and Paladins has taken up close to 11 gigs with all the updates and everything. It's a free game.
But do you realize how small that is, Roberto? Like, look at the PS4. Like, I don't know what those little Nintendo elves do in their factory, but they compress these games better than any other company. And it's a shame that Sony and Microsoft can't get on their level with how they compress this shit. Like, it's sad. Like, they just want me to go out and buy a fucking terabyte hard drive every fucking five weeks.
Doom in particular takes over 100 gigs on my PS4 hard drive.
So. Yeah, and Grand Theft Auto is like 130 now.
Yeah, so my point being in all this is that it's good, I think, for the Nintendo diehard enthusiast who's going to exclusively buy exclusives this year. And has the memory card. And if you're somebody, and also it's good if you're somebody like me who plays the Switch primarily in mobile mode on docked. Like,
I do too. Yep.
So it's probably good in that regard. But it's not something, and the savings are good, but like, I think that if you're somebody that plays a lot of Switch games like myself and, you know, has an affinity for physical copies of things, it's, you know, the choice is there, but the choice is made. So, it's definitely different. Maybe Nintendo's starting to test the waters for something with this voucher program, or maybe they just want to do something really different that they haven't done in ever, really.
What about you, Joe?
I mean, I'm excited for the voucher program, only specifically because I only buy physical for my Switch, especially first-party games I buy physical, because most of the first-party Nintendo games have media experiences to them, so I don't want to have to carry around like 50 cartridges, especially because they're so small. So I like having everything on my console. I was the same way for 3DS, and I know people like rag on me because like Nintendo has the worst online infrastructure ever, and like they have no way to recover anything really. So like if your system breaks, like there's no way to really transfer anything to anywhere else. It doesn't really sit on a cloud anywhere. Like your games are your games and your games alone. They don't come from a server. It's kind of like they don't really know what you have. It's all locked to your system.
Well, that's not completely true anymore.
No, the Nintendo ID kind of fixed that, but I don't know if it has if your console breaks. I've never run into that issue, so I'm not
I know it works with the 3DS, because a couple of times I've transferred my 3DS stuff to a different 3DS digital stuff.
Okay, that's cool. That's good to know.
You can actually go re-download stuff if you lose
it. I know that. I know that. Like, if you undownload something, you can always re-download it, but like...
No, I'm talking about if you switch systems, because mine broke, and when I called Nintendo, I just gave them my new 3DS ID, and they switched everything over to that ID, and then I was able to access to everything.
Oh, cool. All right, that's ingenious. That's
the only thing I will say about Nintendo is they did not actually create an online save feature, which now they did with the Nintendo...
The online
on the line, some of it has cloud saves, so you can lose your data, your save file.
Yeah, that's... my thing with that whole thing is, I understand why they do it, because they don't want like people like scumming save states for games and like manipulating online, because that's what people would do. And people would do it in Pokemon for like competitive, and people would do it in, and people would do it in Splatoon. They would abuse the shit out of the save feature. That's why they don't want people like being able to copy or move saves. Like, that's, I think that's the real issue with it. But my thing is, like, if I have a memory card, an external memory card in my Switch, I should be able to pretty much move anything to it. I think it's kind of BS that, because I feel like our save files, like, they take up space in the Switch, but like, you can't do anything with that. You can't move it. It's there, but I feel like they're just locking access to moving it. Like, it's something they could just flick a switch and change. But anyway, that's a little off topic. Let's get back to the vouchers.
So you're gonna get it.
I will be getting it. I'll probably be getting two of them. I definitely want to get it for. I'm gonna get one for Mario Maker 2, and then probably the future game. Or so I'm a little weary about how it works. Do you have to buy a game right away, or can you just buy the vouchers? I think you just buy the vouchers, right?
I believe you can just buy the vouchers that you can save it to.
Okay, so from what I heard, rumor is this is only the first round of vouchers. So all the games will change as of July 31st, and that's why there's like a deadline. So it's not going to go away for the whole rest of the year. From what
it's just going to
change. It's going to change. And it's a trial thing right now. They want to see how well it's going to work, and that's why it has like a deadline, because they want people to feel like it's urgent and they have to buy them right away. But it's kind of something I feel like they should just do forever. I mean, you're only saving $20. In the end, what is that really to Nintendo? If most people still buy physical anyway, you're not really changing anything. Like, you're giving people a discount for being loyal. It's what you're really doing. And I think the vouchers are only open to people who have Nintendo Online, correct?
Correct.
So, yes, it's no different than people getting free games. That's them giving us free games, technically. If they just left the vouchers alone, I would be fine with that. Because that's giving me a discount every time I buy a new game. Essentially.
For games that you're already going to pre-purchase
anyways. Exactly! I'm already going to fucking buy them. So what's the point? Like, I think it's great because my big thing about it is now I can literally go to the store and buy a $50 eShop card and it'll actually pay for the damn game. I don't have to go buy a $75 one because Nintendo doesn't know how to make increments that meet the needs of the consumer for what you need to buy it for. Like, it's like, yeah, you can buy a $50 card, but then you got to buy another $20 because we don't make a $15. Like,
right, yeah.
Come on, like, so now it's like you gotta buy. Now I usually just buy 2 35s, or I buy a 40 and a I buy like a 35 and a 40. It depends. It depends like how I feel. Sometimes I'll just buy a $100 one and just say fuck it and just put it all on my Switch. But voucher is cool. I'm definitely gonna buy probably two of them. I think I'm gonna use one for Mario Maker 2 and Fire Emblem, and then the other one probably for Marvel Ultimate Alliance, and then maybe I'll save the voucher for like Astral Chains or Dragon Quest. Probably for like Dragon Quest, because I don't fucking really feel like paying for that game again, even though I already, like, I guess in a sense I'm paying for it, but out of sight, out of mind, if I'm not really spending money on it, and I spent the money already, it's kind of like getting a free game at that point. I mean, I could just wait and use it on Pokemon, but like, in the end, of the voucher is really that groundbreaking or different? No, because I'm going to buy the games anyway. It's just nice that they're giving us the discount. Like, they don't even have to do that. Like, it's a nice little incentive for people that are going to pre-order things in advance. What do you think, Kalai? What's your whole take on the whole thing?
At first, I was like, why would they do this? And then I thought about it, and I was like, well, this is kind of cool, because now that I look at it, there are games that I'm going to buy. You're right. I think I'm going to want Mario Maker 2. And I do want Fire Emblem. And what makes this so interesting is that these are day one purchases for me. So it's not like games I'm going to wait anyways and be like, oh, let me wait a few months and see if it drops in price.
No, it's so to get, yeah, I feel you on that one.
So if I'm going to get it, if I'm going to get a discount, then I would really think about buying these vouchers.
And they preload too, so you have game day one at midnight, so.
Fire Emblem, how many more days?
Oh, fuck. It's May 25th?
Today is May 25th, correct.
So tomorrow it'll be 2 months. So it's literally almost like 61 days today. It's close.
And the other thing which Roberto touched on was that I do believe they are testing the waters. And if we want to see more stuff like this from Nintendo, I want to invest in it, which is what I predicted when the Switch came out. Like the Switch, they tried this, people got it, and they put, you know, indies up. People love the indies. They put more indies up. They allowed more developers on.
See, my thing is, like, I would like to see a little bit of an incentive program with the vouchers, like, buy 3 vouchers, get a free game.
Well,
you're showing like loyalty to the program, like, and it.
You know, what would be interesting to think about? What if you get gold coins from?
You do get gold coins.
So that pretty much you could get free games with it.
Yeah,
fair point.
Because if you save up, because I mean, what do you get? You get 600 for every game, right? Because you get $1 for every 10.
Mm-hmm.
So if you buy enough games, you can eventually just buy a $60 game for free. I have tons of friends who have done it.
Yeah, like, so that's another incentive to buy these vouchers.
I know people who literally save their coins. Like now, they're just saving their coins till they get $20 so they can re-up their online for free and have to pay for it next year. Which is a freaking pretty smart idea if you think about it. It's like, I still have to renew my one. Did you get your Nintendo Online from Amazon Prime yet?
From Amazon Prime? No, but I've had it set to just renew every.
No, do you have Amazon Prime?
Yes.
You get a free year.
You get a free year with Amazon Prime.
You get a free year of Nintendo Online, and it stacks to the year you already have.
Yeah. So all you have to do is go to your Twitch Prime. Go to your Twitch account and click on your rewards, and you're going to see the first 3 months up there. You're going to go ahead and log in using your Nintendo ID. It will add it to your system, and then they're going to put up another like 3 months. Oh. And they're going to keep doing that so you get a whole year for free.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
And it works for the family.
That's very generous.
Pretty dope.
You know that.
It's pretty dope. Yeah. I couldn't believe they did it. I was like, damn, that's a pretty sweet deal. Because, like, you got to think of how many people in the world have Amazon Prime. Like, that's like giving away how many online subscriptions?
Right.
It's crazy. I mean, I think the voucher thing's cool. I mean, I do get a little pissed about the whole, like, yeah, you have to rush out and buy your vouchers before June 31st or July 31st because that's really soon, but I understand why it's when it is, because I think that Nintendo's going to do is at E3, they're going to announce all the big games for the rest of the year, and then all those games are going to go up for pre-sale immediately for voucher. Like, I don't think they're going to wait like they normally do until the games are ready to be put up on the eShop for pre-order. They're going to start putting them up earlier now. I think that they see what Sony and Microsoft have been doing with pre-orders, and they're going to start matching that by putting shit up earlier and letting people pre-buy things digitally. Because the earlier you put it up digitally, the faster you can get the money away from, like, the mom-and-pop shops or, like, the other places for a physical copy. Because the faster somebody can buy something or pre-order, they're going to do it.
Right,
do we want to jump into our Facebook?
Yeah, let's see what they have to say.
Joe wrote, "Hi guys, tonight we'll be discussing the Nintendo vouchers promotion. Do you guys see this as a great idea? Will this help push digital sales? If you have any other questions, drop them below." Andrew says, "It's an interesting idea to try and get new people into the platform, but a lot of those titles will have been purchased already by people who own a Switch. I'm curious if the list of games that are available to purchase will expand over the next year, or if these will remain the only games you can use the vouchers on."
It's a great response.
We did determine, yes, thank you, Andrew, and we did determine that there are games coming up that you can use the vouchers on.
It's weird because like the European site has like games the American site doesn't have yet. I don't know if you've seen that.
Oh no, I didn't.
So like, I'm not sure if the U.S. site you can pre-order Fire Emblem or Astral Chain yet, but you can in the European one.
I saw actual Fire Emblem show up already.
Now it is, because people bitched about it for like a whole day. I think Nintendo added it. I have to pre-order mine. Whether I'm doing it with the voucher or not, it has to be pre-ordered. It's pre-ordered at GameStop for a physical copy. Yeah, I'm buying two fucking copies. It's right, because I'm fucking diehard. I have to have one sealed on my mantle.
Stephen Fontana says, it is essentially a pre-order program without specifically offering a game to pre-order. It isn't a bad idea, but let's not pretend this isn't a pre-order with a discount like Best Buy Gamers Club and Power Up Rewards or something.
I mean, it is, but it's the only one left standing. So, your point? Like, I love you, Steve, but like, yeah, but no one else is doing it anymore. And they're the only show in town now.
Right. I feel like some holder had done something like a voucher program. I don't remember who, though. I guess, the word voucher, I think it comes in a little bit with Sony and the hack attack, but that's different. It's better
than the GameStop bullshit where they're like, hey, you can play this game for 48 hours, and if it sucks, you can bring it back.
Right, that is another good point, too.
And you can only
change your policies, too.
And it's only if the game launched within that 48 hours. Not if you bought it in 48 hours. It has to be 48 hours from the day it launches.
Right.
So you have to take that first day gamble. Like, I don't want to talk about this.
And they took a bad hit with that too.
But anyways, they got too bad publicity. Yeah.
What's the next comment?
Do we have another comment?
We do not. That was our last.
I was gonna say. I thought it was only him and Steven. I thought it was only him and Steven. Closing remarks on the voucher. I honestly think it's a good idea, and it's good publicity for Nintendo to get out there and like kind of put some like, hey, like, thank you so much for making the Switch what it is and as popular as it is. Like, here's a little discount, and like, we know you guys are already gonna buy these games, so like, hey, we're gonna take $20 off. Like, I think that's really nice of them, because they don't have to do that. They could just be like, here's vouchers, and you get two physical games or two digital games. I'm hoping this turns into a promotion where, like, down the road, if there's like, here's a voucher, but here's a Mario voucher, and you get these two Mario games for this set price, or this voucher for Kirby games, or like, I hope this opens up the door to do different things with vouchers or different things. Like, I'm hoping like eventually you can trade your coins in for a voucher. Like,
oh, that's a good idea.
Cool. That would be cool.
Roberta, do you have closing thoughts?
It's an interesting thing. Obviously, it's safe to say that part of the war for the future is going to be through online stores, online distribution, and things of that sort. We've talked about that pretty heavily on the show, from PlayStation Now to PlayStation Plus to Game Pass, and how that will all affect the future of gaming and gaming releases, sales, and distribution. I feel that this is Nintendo's answer to trying to do something in that regard, but also test the waters for anything like that. Because who's to say right now that, considering that Nintendo and Microsoft have this new partnership, that maybe Nintendo's thinking of their own Game Pass system that's supposed to be better than online. Maybe like online it will be folded into a Nintendo Game Pass. Or maybe some kind of this will be just a complete total blue moon dream, but if Game Pass is folded entirely into Nintendo, but I don't think that's going to happen. I think that this is what's going to be, is that this is a testing of the waters for something experimental that Nintendo's really never done before. They have always lacked in terms of like online stores, e-shops, things like that, compared to their competition. So I think this is one way to really see what it is that their fans are all about, and also what they're interested in. And also, of course, because their fans, as we mentioned in the first recording of this, Nintendo exclusives don't go on discount right away, if ever. If you go right now to Super Mario Odyssey, it's still $50 or $60 full retail price. It's never, like, even when it goes pre-owned, you save like $5 or $4 or $4.55 or something like that, because Nintendo really protects the hell out of their exclusives. So,
well, I mean, this should be interesting. When your games are good, you can afford to charge that much for them. Like, that's the thing. Like, people are willing to pay that much to play a Nintendo game because you're getting quality. Remember, it all goes back to that Nintendo seal of quality. Like, that still exists even though it doesn't exist.
Like, yeah, fair point.
My closing thoughts is it's an interesting program. I'm very excited for it. I think I'm going to take advantage of it. And I'd like to see what their future holds for that and what kind of programs springboard off this voucher system?
I mean, I did the math. So, like, if you buy 800 vouchers, you save $160. So, I mean, you see, you essentially get two and one third games free. So, I mean,
all right, that brings us to our end of the show. How can we get in touch with you, Roberto?
Okay, so first up, you can find me at the PlayStation Network as VectorMan88 and Nintendo Switch with the Nintendo Switch Stop. Switch the Switch code, friend code thing. So feel free to reach out.
SW.
I got. that's a number I'm gonna have to memorize, like a phone number.
It's literally just a three sequence phone number of what? It's 12 digits.
Something like that. I'm a contributor to But Why Though podcast. Please feel free to check us out. We got tons of podcasts and articles. I primarily write all my reviews.
Dude, check out his new review. It's pretty dope.
Yeah, that's Shakedown Hawaii.
Yeah,
the next thing.
Good
is,
review. Good review. I liked it.
Thanks. Thank you. Stackup.org, military charity. By the time this recording gets out, the Call to Arms event would have ended, but please consider supporting them as they continue onward throughout the summer and continue to the mission of using video games to help the lives of veterans around the world. Also, you can find me on Twitter at Jehuty88. That's Jehuty88 for all my little happenings and things like that. And of course, I'm active in the Game Stuff Facebook group. So thank you everyone for listening. I appreciate the reading of the article too. So. How about you, Joe? How they can get in touch with you?
So you can find me on all social... Well, not all social media. You can find me on Twitter, and you can find me on PSN at MrTMNT84. Throw me a request for, you know, to play some games. I'll play with you. Pretty much play everything, so help you out if you need anything. And you can find me in the game stuff, you know, the Facebook page. That's, what is it? Game Stuff Podcast on Facebook.
There you go.
Yeah. So I'm there. Come chat. We'll talk about games. We can talk about how shitty Sonic is. You know, the usual. Kalai, how can they get in touch with you?
You can find me on Steam at Kalai21. That's K-A-L-A-I, the number 21, along with my Twitter handle as well. It's the same thing. You can also find me on PlayStation at Miley1978. That's M-A-I-L-E-1978. And Xbox at Miley21. And of course, you can find me on the Game Stuff Podcast Facebook group. Now, if you do like us, you can help us out by going to provengamer.com, click on any Amazon link, and do your shopping like normal. It helps out the site, doesn't cost you any money. You can also click on the link below in our description for our Humble Bundle package. We actually do support the Extra Life charity, so if you just click on the Humble Bundle link, go over there, get some great cheap PC games, it helps out our charity. If you do like our show, check out our other shows. We have the Trophy Whores and Nintendo Dual Screens.
Dude, congratulations to Dual Screens. Seriously, congratulations, guys, on hitting 100 episodes. Like,
yeah,
seriously,
congrats.
We're getting there. I also want to thank the people that have helped us with our show. I want to thank Isaac Sago for the logo. And, of course, the band Take Away the Ugly. So thank you guys so much. And thank you for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode of Game Stuff.
Have a good one, guys. May the Force be with you. See you next week.
Guys, seriously, I want you to go hit Mr. Nuff's Twitter and be like, hey, where the fuck are you? And just, like, hashtag, where the fuck is Matt? Like, everyone just do it. Bring Matt back. With that said, I'll check you guys later, and see you next week.